Chapter 7, Figmentalism and the Web. Chronologically speaking, I didn't really learn how to operate a computer for about a year or so, and it was well into 1997 by the time I felt proficient at its use, and even then, I had to take it to an expert every time I blew it up, and it seemed to happen a lot. In 1996, I photographed all my porcelain and ceramic sculptures because clay was my medium, and as an artist, I needed exposure, so that's the reason I got the damn computer in the first place. I paid some commercial computer bandit 3 years' worth of income tax refunds for 93, 94, and 95, which amounted to $1,700 for a Pine school computer that wasn't much better than a 486, but it was a 120 megahertz with the slowest modem in the world, and the whole thing was really junk. But it was my first, and eventually I learned all about it. In early 1996, I got a friend to write my first art web page with my sculptures on it, and even though I didn't have a computer yet, I had an ISP, which is an internet service provider, in case you don't know, and a website. I went directly down to Foxnet and handed him the disks, that were two floppies, basically, containing my website, and paid for the service, not having even the faintest clue as to what I was doing. And then I began shopping around for a computer, so I could see what I had just done. So basically, I had a website before I had a computer. The first web page was 2.2 megs, and it was called The Human Form, since it mostly featured small nudes made of fired and glazed clay. It's still available, actually, in its original form, on the present web page. It's called namronsor.com and realrufus.com. It'll be found in the computer history area. The market for ceramics used to be quite good, but it seems that when people began to buy computers and games, they stopped buying art, or rather trinkets, depending on how you look at it. The website looked good, and I always got a few inquiries from all sorts of places in the world, but no one wanted to pay the prices I was asking, and even though it wasn't really that much, considering they were original porcelain figures and quite rare. Local sales had ground to a halt in all the ceramics businesses in Thunder Bay, most of them closed, and I found myself looking for something to do with the rest of my life, apart from trying to solve where we all came from and what the hell we were doing here. There's just no money in that. The web in its early days required that men learn to type, which was like getting a gorilla to fill out forms for bananas. Men and typing just seems odd. At any rate, I did learn and got involved in a variety of counterculture cyberspace movements in which I had to also become proficient at convincing others that I was correct and that in the anarchy of the web, my words must be heeded. In the underground, people can tell you to JFRO, and I won't explain what that means, and there isn't anything you can do about it apart from getting your cohorts to turn against them, and these battles go on constantly and never end. In that part of cyberspace, you can't call a cop and whine that you've just been insulted or threatened, and it happened all day, every day, and I got used to it. Rufus, as I was known, became a force to be reckoned with. But some of the things he was involved in were decidedly dangerous and somewhat unsavory. I'm not going to go into details, but the main battleground was what is known as the newsgroups, and the battle centered around the fact that forces in the world wanted to control the communication on the web, and we didn't want that. We still don't, and the battle continues, but now it's in places like P2P, peer-to-peer, called BitComet, file sharing, and reverse engineering. Trust me, without hackers and other vandals, you would give up the right to make any independent choice at all, and some Bible Belt holier-than-thou would be deciding everything for you. Watch the zeitgeist if you want to know what's in store for you should these forces take over. Things in the news group started to get pretty seedy for my alter ego, Rufus, and he decided to continue the battle above ground and built a webpage on special hosting of 500 megs called Real Rufus, and has since grown to 3 times that size. Actually, Namron Sor was the first webpage, or this, I should say the second, and Real Rufus was the third. That began in March of 2006, and the first page was a real mess. But I was learning HTML, which is hypertext markup language, all over again, and trying to learn the proper way as well. That first page is available, as are all of the pages in the history section. I have a real fascination for web page writing, and usually we bang out one or two every day. So there are over 500 by now. Actually, at this point, there's well over a couple of thousand web pages. May 22nd, 2008, there was around 500. At some point, actually I lost track of when, it was decided that I needed 2.coms to accommodate both the galleries that I had and the written work that was piling up at a phenomenal rate. So Namron Sor was created on the 50 meg hookup space that you get with your internet connection, and almost immediately became the Institute of Non-Theoretical Science. Nothing is stopping any individual from having their own online university. So in a moment of brilliance, INTS was created without any say-so from the establishment. No license fees, no registration fees, no nothing. Bingo. A free university. And I like it that way. The establishment really sucks. Non-theoretical science is the study of things without theorizing. In other words, you must stick to only that which you know as fact. And most educated people will tell you that that can't be done unless you consider things like the theory of evolution to be fact. Well, it wouldn't be called a theory if it was, and almost 100% of science is only theoretical, and none of it has ever been proven. A student of art and philosophy since the age of 20, without the usual degree holding me back, I have my own take on what is fact and what isn't, and INTS works on 2 main aspects of it. The first is based on the simple sentence, we exist, and if you happen to be one of those that think that statement is not factual, then you will always have a problem communicating, because the very ability to question existence guarantees it. Think about that carefully. There is a semantic trap in facts. If you attempt to portray something that is false in words, and I'm only talking about scientific and philosophical things, it's very difficult to make a mistake without it being exposed in the jargon. As an example, for years, learning institutions made their students of philosophy learn the axiom, there are no absolutes, meaning that there is really nothing that you can know for sure. But look at those two statements. They are purporting to tell you a fact, that there are no facts. That same thing works for modern-day theories. For the most part, they cannot really be put into words without using unknowns. Pardon me. Example, space is infinitely large. The word infinitely means question mark. Try to describe the edge of space and you will be invited to describe what is beyond that. You can't. Space just goes on forever. There's another statement that you hear people say occasionally. It's another dead giveaway in semantics, because you are invoking time while trying to describe distance. Another well-known one is, creatures evolved through spontaneous physiological changes. The word spontaneous also means question mark. Doesn't mean a darn thing. The point mass of the singularity, this is another one, okay? The point mass of the singularity, that was before the Big Bang, underwent cataclysmic atomic or molecular changes. Means basically nothing at all. It isn't even a theory or a statement. The other area that INTS works in is practical non-theory, And in this area, the pronouncements could be considered a bit tenuous, somewhat political and biased against waste, pollution, and money. Figmentalism is the main thrust of INTS and the result of the study of non-theory and its offshoot anti-theory. The meaning of all three terms have pretty well been coined by us and to some extent usurped from other places where the meaning was unclear or misused. Which came first is unknown, but it was probably figmentalism, and it was used to replace the terms idealism and solipsism, which are misused or old or unclear terms. Solipsism comes from the word solo and is unlike figmentalism in that it does not recognize others, but sees the world as imaginary. As a philosophy, it has largely been undeveloped, whereas figmentalism has created the laws of reality and ventures to a complete explanation of things short of thought itself. The big kahuna in the world of philosophy regarding the imaginary nature of reality is known as idealism, but has two main problems that I consider enough to have replaced with the word figmentalism. First of all, the word idealism doesn't convey what the ism is all about. It sounds like it's about being idealistic or having high ideals, but it's not. It's about the world being an idea. And that too is wrong, because an idea is a conjectural thing, and the figmental nature of the universe isn't conjectural. The other problem is that the term idealism goes way back to Socrates and Plato, and there is no real consensus on exactly what they meant by it. Later on, many other philosophers put forward their own description of what idealism was, and almost all of them added a word in front of it, like personal idealism, which was something like solipsism and probably most like figmentalism, but we really don't know. So I just dumped the whole lot of historic terms and went with my own, so sue me. In the world of philosophy, no one will talk to you or pay any attention anyway, unless you happen to have some huge reputation, and I don't know how you get that in the first place. It's like going from job application to job application, and they all say you need some experience. Or the publisher's telling you can't have your book published because you haven't had one printed previously. The world of science is closed to everyone except a choice few, and trying to communicate with them is very difficult. When I discovered the laws of reality, I sent them to the American magazine called Scientific American, and they just sent back a short reply saying no, and didn't even bother to reply to my further inquiries. Figmentalism and the laws of reality are not theoretical, as I've shown before. Everything else is. And once you identify the theories and find the opposite of each, then you can know that you have a fact. That is what we know now. You awake from a sleep, and in your dream, you knew that you manufactured all the people that you saw and all the situations that occurred with nothing more than thought, and they seemed very real. With your eyes now open, you suddenly feel that the world is not manufactured by you, but you by it. And you make this leap of faith and think you are correct. Neither your dreams nor your wakefulness has any constituent of intrinsic matter and is entirely imaginary. Created by the entity of which you are part, all else is speculation. Namransor.